Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, whatever time you're listening to us. Welcome to this review episode of The Wayward Dragons.
Like good day.
Good
Good
day, mate.
day.
Put on my really bad Australian accent.
It's like good day. Good day, everybody. Hope everybody is well. I am apologizing for how bad I sound. I'm recovering from what I think is the flu. I have been out for a week. So, how are you?
I'm good. It's going to be coherent, usual stuff. Nothing too crazy. Out of almond milk, which I usually put in my coffee. So I am drinking hot chocolate.
Yeah, no magic bean juice right now. Oh
Yeah, I survive.
Oh no. Do you want to go first with your books?
I mean, considering I'm having marshmallow issues and this looks really gross right now.
Oh, sorry. I just got
As
like a
Kelsey's not looking at me, I had a marshmallow stuck to my mustache and I just like this big globule of white stuff and didn't realize it until I saw something like fall and hit my shirt because I'm not staring at myself on the camera. And when I look, there's just like a big globule of white. Everyone out there with a mustache who drinks hot chocolate knows exactly how I feel. So yeah, no, I could totally start. Let's pull up the old Goodreads.
I was like, I've only read one and it was a disappointment. So
Well, so I increased my target
you did.
because I hit my 104.
Yeah, you did.
And so I increased it to 150 next episode because I'm going to be trying to catch up on a bunch of podcasts in my free time. I don't know how much I'm actually going to have as far as books. That being said,
Gotcha.
I listened to a couple books that like I listened to the first one or first couple before. So the first one I'd like to talk about is Two Necromancers, a Dragon and a Vampire. That's the
Ooh.
continuation of the Two Necromancers and blah 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 books that I listened to before. Still hilarious. This is by LG Estrella. Yeah, no, they are freaking hilarious. Thoroughly enjoying the series. I think there's one more that's out that I have to read. So basically, for those of you who haven't listened to the previous episode, the premise of the series is there's a kingdom that's on the verge of war. Of course, as per usual with high fantasy, well, fantasy in general, necromancy bad. But the kingdom issues this proclamation that anyone who, has broken laws in the past, or anyone that they've perceived as broken laws, will be under new consideration and will get pardons. And so the necromancer and his apprentice apply for a pardon, and they're just like, yeah, we didn't think someone like you would apply because, we figured it'd be someone like pickpockets and stuff like that. But if you want to take it and you want to, go for it, sure. But we want you to try and recruit these other super powerful people. And so he's been kind of like traveling along and dealing with threats to the kingdom and recruiting all sorts of people. So now they have an ancient vampire that they are attempting to recruit in this book. After recruiting a crazy pyromancer that's an elf that just wants to burn everything and likes man-eating plants. They have a bureaucrat with them. They have some ninja mice that are excellent swordsmen. It's satirical fantasy. It's oh yo,
Sometimes you
Kelsey
need that,
got
though.
yeah. Well, and you can attest that satirical fantasy is probably, if not my favorite, or one of, if not my favorite genre. So it's been enjoyable. And then I also did, these books are not what I was expecting them to be, but I did the first, what, four of the Ozark Ghost Hunter series. I don't know why they named them that and not the Hillbilly Hollow series, because most of the books take place in or in relation to people from a place called Hillbilly Hollow. But it's about this lady who moves back home.
Okay.
Her parents died in a car crash when she was younger. She moves back home. You actually might enjoy this series. It looks
like it sounds more like my stuff than your stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect, honestly. I didn't read any reviews on it or anything like that. and then once I started, I'm like, I guess I'll keep going because I already got the books. But it looks saucier than it is, just a heads up.
Okay.
So, you know, there's no sauce in it, so you can enjoy it thoroughly. But yeah, basically this lady is hit by a taxi in New York City.
Okay.
And has some brain damage and has to move back home to her grandparents' farm because her grandparents raised her because her parents died when she was younger. So she's like interacting with all these people that she grew up with and all this other fun stuff. Her best friends, one of which is engaged to a dude. The other which is a guy she had the hots for and he had the hots for her. And they've got the classic will they, won't they type thing going on through like the first four books. And so I'm assuming they will eventually, but like he's trying to, he has interest in her. She thinks he's cute, but she's also like, he's just a friend. And everyone's like, no, when are you two getting married? And she's like, we're just friends. Stop trying to push your beliefs on me. Blah, blah, blah. Just because you want me to get married to him doesn't mean I will. Blah, blah. And it's like, no, you can tell you're going to. You're just in denial.
Yeah, you won't admit it, but it's fine.
But yeah, so she takes it and she has this head injury she finds out later. Other people in her family have had a similar head injury, and every single person who's got it, when they've gotten it, they've seen ghosts. So she starts solving crimes based off these ghosts that she sees.
Interesting.
And she's from a small town, which, as you can guess, there's not typically many murders in a small town. But, typically, there's not many murders in a small town. But anyway, so she starts like solving all these crimes and everything. With help of the ghosts.
Okay. It sounds like Spook Show.
Sounds like what?
Spook Show. So
it reminds me a little bit of Ghost Whisperer, if you remember that show.
Oh, that was a good TV show. That was a great TV show.
I know a lot of people liked it. I enjoyed the premise, but there was a lot of other shows that were, there were a lot of other shows that started around the same time that did not get the same viewership, and I have my opinions as to why, but that I feel like were better.
Yeah. Excuse me, sorry.
Okay. But yeah, so did that. I read one called Witches Be Crazy.
Okay.
It was a fun fairy tale type situation where the main character sets off to, first off, he's going to marry this potential queen, or the queen, princess, whatever you want to call her, princess, who... her father died, and so she's trying to legitimize her claim to the throne, so she's asked any suitors, or all towns to send suitors, and then he meets a group of different characters on the way, one of which that is trying to kill the princess, and he's just like, yeah, no, I'll help you kill her, if she's really that bad. And so, you know, all these shenanigans ensue with that.
Okay.
he ends up in a situation where, let's say, things are not as they seem. I
Okay.
mean, it's fairly obvious at the end, what's going to happen at the end while you're reading it, but I don't want to give that away to
Spoiler.
anyone who, yeah. But this is by Logan J. Hunter, but Witches Be Crazy. It was really enjoyable. And then the last one I want to talk about is The
Okay.
Engineer by Will White. It's the second book in the Long Horizon series. The first one was The Captain that I read with the guy with the multiple lives. It wasn't bad. I feel like it was missing some of the story building from the first one, and I think part of it was like the author was like, "Hey, I already have all this established in the first book, so I'm just gonna take it and throw in all these situations." It's very much a, there's no pre-context to a lot of the things, or no references back to a lot of the things, which is okay, but at the same time, in the first book they briefly introduced all these characters in some way, shape, or form, and then only focused on a handful of them. And so on this book, they go back and they're just like, "Hey, we're picking this character back up, and this character's being brought back in." And it's like, yeah, that's great, but you didn't really, like, at first I was confused because they're just like, "Hey, this guy's here now." And I'm like, "Who the fuck is this?"
Why are
Okay, I
they
didn't really,
here?
yeah, I didn't really remember.
I hate,
But
I don't
then
like that.
after a bit, it kind of like, they were like, "Yeah, you're so and so from so and so." And I'm like, "Okay, now I know who the hell we're talking about." Like, this person was mentioned in like three
Briefly.
random, like, it was like three paragraphs throughout the entirety of the last book, spread out completely through the book.
Gotcha.
So, but yeah, that's what I have been doing. I'm probably not going to have very many books for next session, next recording that we do for the reviews, because like I said, I'm going to be catching up on podcasts. I do have a book series that was gifted to me, the first three books by a really good friend of mine, that I am going to be focusing on next. And from what they told me, it is very, very much satirical fantasy. And the even on the cover of the book, they describe it as Neil Gaiman meets Sir Terry Pratchett.
That is right up your alley.
Yep. So
That is right up your alley for sure.
depending on if I get caught up with all of these podcasts and such, I will be delving into those books.
Okay.
What about you? What have you been reading? You said you had 100 books to talk about.
Yes, 100. So I've been slowly reading The Bard's Blade by Brian Anderson. And by slow, I mean slow. So it's a trilogy. It's book one in a trilogy. And you have Valari, which is cut off from the rest of the neighboring kingdoms. No one can get in. If you come out, you can't go back in, type thing. It's been shut off from the rest of the kingdoms for so long that the rest of the kingdoms don't think it's real. Like, they just think it's this big myth. The people in Valari just don't know how the outside world works. There's no such thing as real magic there. Magic, they see it kind of as bad. No one really has it, type thing. It's very much, it gives me very much Hobbit vibes or Hobbiton vibes, where the Shire is protected by man. And the Shire doesn't really get affected by the ring, the War of the Ring, because of how protected it was. I mean, it does get affected, but not like affected. And that's kind of the vibes it gave, was
they don't really understand what's kind of going on the outside of the world. Everything's kind of just hunky-dory in this little bubble. And, you know, well, the stranger makes it through and tells Lem that he needs to run. There's this kind of dark force that's awakening, breaking his prison. And so he runs. His beloved, who is the winemaker's daughter, she finds out he's ran, goes after him. But they don't know how the outside world works, so she gets arrested, enslaved. There's not a whole lot of plot. There's not a whole lot of plot, which is why it took me so long. Like, I've been reading this for, like, 2 months. And I finally had to get the audiobook from Hoopla to finish it, because I got tired of looking at it.
What I'm saying is, it is a great, great read, and it is very engaging, and...
It definitely does a lot of groundwork for world building, and kind of how the rest, I hope the rest of it's gonna go. I'm still on the fence whether I'm gonna finish the trilogy or not. Because apparently this guy's like a really great epic fantasy writer, and I'm just like, this is one of the worst ones I've ever read. Like, it was bad.
Well, like, so I thought the same thing with, like, you know, Patrick Rothfuss, because I've tried reading his books multiple times, and I am not a fan. And everyone's like, oh, Patrick Rothfuss is one of the greatest fantasy, high fantasy authors of our time. And I'm like, is he though?
Is he? Like, he didn't even finish a major series. So, like, really?
Yeah, like, he's like, oh, this is going to be a trilogy. Like, it's just as bad, if not worse, than, what's his face that wrote Game of Thrones?
Oh, George Martin.
Yeah, George R. R. Martin. It's the exact same thing, where it's just like, okay, he may be a decent author, but I wouldn't say he's one of the greatest of our times. He may be really good at world building.
Yeah.
But there are certain things that they put way too much detail in, and then not enough detail in other things. And it's like, what are you doing, dude?
Well, like, it's all about... Liam feels bad that Mariah has left Valari, and he's feels really bad that she's enslaved, so he's trying really hard to figure out, one, where she is, two, get enough money. He ends up becoming this world kingdom wide known assassin. He is a bard. That's why it's called the Bard's Blade, because he, spoiler alert, he becomes an assassin. He comes part of this troop when he kind of first comes out of Valari. The guy who owns the troop is very shady, which when you own a circus, I don't know why you wouldn't expect that. Like, he owns a circus, he's got to be shady to a degree. And it's just like, he's trying so hard to save her. And then in the second one, he still doesn't understand that she is there on her own free will. The stranger that came into Valari didn't come into Valari for him. They came into Valari for her, looking for her, because she is who the dark god, I guess you could call him, is looking for. She is who he's looking for, not Lem. Because she's the one that holds all the magical power, not him. So it's, but he's still, like, apparently, I was reading reviews of the second one where it's just like, he just doesn't understand. She is there on her own free will. So that's why I don't know if I'm going to read the other ones. That one just took forever to get through. Like, I've been reading that since mid-January, and it is the beginning of March when we record this.
Yeah. Kelsey's dying right now. For those of you who wonder where she just disappeared, she's coughing up a storm. Now her head is splitting open and she is growing tentacles out of her face.
The worst part of this flu has been this cough. Oh my god. My poor husband sleeps like a rock. I have not been sleeping because at the moment I go horizontal, I start coughing. And, like, I'm going to cough my own lung up.
Now, you said poor husband. Are you saying that because you're sad that he sleeps like a rock? Or are you calling him your poor husband because he's... because he's married to you.
Because he's married to me. And I'm fucking sick. I love that where they're like, like, I want to sleep like a baby. And it's like, I want to sleep like my husband. That man is out like a light. I'm up having coughing fits and sleeping right through him.
See, and I'm one of those people... If I'm up and moving, I can keep moving. I can keep going, I, you know, nonstop. But as soon as I lay down within a minute, I'm out.
Ugh, he's out. Like, out. And, like, can get up, go pee, come back to bed. Where I'm having, like, a 20-minute coughing fit, and he's just out.
He's, like, wakes up sometimes, like, you okay? Okay, good night. And goes back to sleep. Doesn't even get a chance to answer.
Last night he woke up, started rubbing my back while I was coughing. Doesn't remember at all.
So, I mean, at least Sleepy Him was trying to be sweet.
Yeah. Well, I've been kind of in quarantine for. I started getting sick like Monday night. Started really getting sick Wednesday. So I've kind of been in quarantine since Wednesday, and this is Sunday, so I've been in quarantine for a couple of days. So, have you been watching anything?
I have.
I've been watching stuff.
So, I did watch Poor Things. It's an art house film. It's on Hulu right now. For those people who have Hulu. I don't know if it's anywhere else, but that's where I watched it. It is a film. Mm-hmm. You know, I was excited because of the cast.
Okay.
Because, like, it's got... let me pull up the IMDb here. I mean, it's got, like, Emma Stone in it. It's got Mark Ruffalo, William Dafoe... And, like, just a crap ton of other people.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, this is going to be weird. This is going to be interesting. I don't think I liked it.
Okay.
Like, it's problematic.
Okay.
And I get that it's, like, supposed to be creative storytelling and stuff. But, so, the main character, spoilers ahead for the movie. Solid. The main character, is a woman who tried to kill herself because she was pregnant. Well, tried to kill herself. Her husband was an asshole, and she tried to kill herself. She was pregnant. The William Dafoe's character is like this mad scientist, Frankenstein type character. Finds her body, attempts to bring her back to life. Can't. The only thing he can do is he takes the brain from her unborn infant, puts it into her head, so she has the brain of an infant. And it's like slow process and slow learning, but she develops and learns things really fast. But, you know, he like tries to engage her, get her engaged, betrothal to a dude who, honestly, first off, it's like mentally a child. And so it's like mentally handicapped person, like severely mentally handicapped person being sold off as a bride to someone else, which is highly unethical. Yeah. And then they show her discovering masturbation. And so you see Emma Stone masturbating multiple times through the movie.
That's weird.
And then Mark Ruffalo, his character is obsessed with her and ends up convincing her to run off with him. And there are multiple sex scenes between the two of them. And then he gets like super, you know, upset because she's not doing exactly what he wants because, you know, she's got the brain of a child.
Oh, okay. I know what movie you're talking about now.
Yeah, and then she ends up leaving him. Well, she ends up taking it because they end up, like, stuck in Paris with no money because she gives all of his money away to the homeless people and, like, the poor people. But so she ends up becoming a prostitute in a pleasure house for money. And then so he freaks out because she's, to quote the movie, whoring herself out. And, you know, she's like, hey, look, I like sex and I need money. Might as well enjoy both. But then finds out that, you know, that's not super glamorous of a life with some of the clients that she has to take in. But then she ends up going back home. And then her actual husband shows up because Mark Ruffalo takes it and finds out who she actually is and lets her actual husband know who she was. And that's just like a whole ridiculous. I typically enjoy long movies. I can sit through a 3-hour movie, no problem.
Oh, yeah.
This movie was like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it felt like it went on forever. And it was just, there was so much unnecessary things in the movie. And I get that it was an art house movie.
Yeah.
The acting was phenomenal.
Yeah. It's got a 92 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. The acting was absolutely phenomenal. It was amazing. I have so many issues with the storyline. But, yeah, that's really the only thing of note that I've watched recently. Would not recommend, obviously, with the masturbation and the sex, watching it around anyone that is a minor. Also, it massive trigger. Yeah, massive trigger warnings for everyone about everything. You know, suicide, self-harm, sexual assault. Literally just everything, just massive trigger warnings. But yeah, was not a fan. What about you? Have you watched anything recently?
I mean, that's all I've been. I've watched all of the true crime because I've been in bed. So I watched The Program. It's on Netflix. Have you ever heard of, it's called WASP Program. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
That sounds familiar. Give me a second. Look.
So, the program, it's 3 episodes. They're about an hour long on
Netflix. Oh, the Women Air Force Service Pilots?
No. So.
Okay. Then I clue what you're talking about, because when I look up WASP, that is the only thing that comes up.
And it's a double what, W.
Two doubles? Two U's? Two W's?
Two doubles. Two W's.
WASP Survival?
So, it is... You have to type in schools. So, it's Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs. The schools are mainly based in Utah. But they are not real schools, and they are, quote, behavioral program schools. I can say that if my stepbrother went to one of these, my stepbrother would not have made it out.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. It's the things that masquerade as schools and as behavioral therapy, but they're actually just, like, super abusive, and no. I'm aware of that. I didn't know those were still a thing because I thought government regulations are bullshit anyways in this country.
Yes.
But I thought the government supposedly stepped in to address that.
No. Brief thing. My stepbrother has what's called ODD, Oppositional Defiance Disorder. He did have to go to a behavioral school. My stepmom did a ton of research in... picked the best one in the state that we lived in. And because I don't know if they wanted to send him to something like this, but they wanted to send him to something. And she was like, no, this will better fit him. And he went to the camp school thing that he went to. Because if he would have went to something like this, he would have not survived. But the show follows this group of kids well, not necessarily kids, they're adults now, early 20s. And it mainly follows this girl. She's making this documentary because her dad didn't believe her. Her dad did not believe her when it came to the abuse that she suffered there. And you find out that a lot of these schools are still in use. How they are set up. The guy who basically is like the president, he'll never really get taken down because of how he's got it set up with multiple LLCs and stuff like that. But the show follows this group of girls, because it follows like the girls part of Ivy School. There was a boys campus, but the girl that the documentary mainly talks about is, you know, she went to this Ivy School. That was horrific. And even with a lot of the abuse on video, they did nothing, you know.
Well, because this country is a joke, and
oh yeah,
only the people in power matter. And unless you are a good looking wealthy white person, then nobody gives a fuck.
Well, and these kids weren't, there was nothing wrong with these kids, you know. Like, honestly, I think the girl in question, her stepmom was the one that sent her there. Her mom died of cancer when she was very young. Her dad obviously remarried. And it obviously was kind of like a case of the stepmom just didn't like the old her in specific. And just found a reason to send her away. And she was trying to convince her dad of everything that was going on there. And they monitored her letters. You know, the moment she said anything bad, everything got taken away. No talking. You know, it was crazy. And it's like, a lot of the kids have either overdosed, committed suicide because of what they've gone through all this trauma. So I watched that. But that was very eye-opening. I think it's called Love, Stalker, Killer. It's on Netflix, too. This is based off of a true story. I read the book by Anne Rule. I forget. Let me... Anne Rule book that... is Dateline episode. So, Love, Stalker, Killer, it's based off of the Anne Rule, Anne Rule wrote about it, called A Tangled Web, because, like, we were watching it, and I'm like, I've already...
You gonna make it, my dude?
This is the most I've talked in days. I've got a lot of drainage today. My aunt cupped my back to, like, help all this mucus move. Oh, the shit that I'm coughing up is disgusting. Anyway. So, yeah. It's based off, Anne Rule wrote about this case. It's called Tangled Web. I've read the book. There's a Dateline episode about it. Basically, a gentleman gets divorced, new to the dating scene, and he meets this woman named Liv off of Plenty of Fish, and they kind of hit it off and stuff, and then things kind of fall to the wayside. So, and he's new to the dating scene, so he's talking to multiple women, you know, as one does, and he starts talking to this woman named Carrie, and things just start getting weird. And it follows the case of Carrie going missing, and all that. So we were watching it and I was like, this is an Anne Rule book. I've read this book. So yeah, and then we watched Sins of Our Mother last night. So that follows the case of Lori Vallo. I love my husband.
Cough drop.
You. Oh, this is
He
a
said
very
he's
one.
tired of hearing of you.
No. No. He's just trying to help. He even brought me the good Ricola too. The berry Ricolas, bro, those are the bomb. Sins of Our Mother, it follows the case of it happened a couple years ago. I don't know if you remember of the mom who murdered her kids and got
Casey
really
Anthony,
no like
or isn't
really,
that her name?
that happened when we were like in high school. Like,
Okay,
no,
which lady are you talking about? Because I'm Casey
I'm trying to
Anthony's.
find it.
Did you hear that Casey Anthony wants to open a preschool?
Did you hear that she is a private detective?
I did hear that, but she wanted to open a preschool, and everyone's just like, "Why? Nah."
Not. She is a stay away. Hold on. Let me just Google it because I'm trying to find it on Netflix. Every time I try to find something on Netflix, Sins of Our Mother. So, Lori Vallo. So, Lori Vallo was in the news a couple years ago
Is this the
because
lady who drained her child or drowned her children?
it never has been released how her children have died.
Okay.
So, it starts somewhere in Arizona. I don't know. They say where. I want to say it's like northern Arizona. Let me pull. So it follows her, the last remaining son, and his wife, and Colby. One, why would you name your son Colby? But whatever.
I went to school with a Colby.
All I kept thinking was Colby, calling him Colby Jack. But so she has a podcast, and she just starts talking about very weird religious stuff. Like, she's super religious, but like she goes off like a deep end. She meets this guy or finds this guy named Chad Daybell, and he's like got like this weird cult going on. So she's in the process of divorcing her husband, which is the children's stepdad. And somehow the stepdad has died in a weird self-defense thing gone wrong. And
Allegedly.
allegedly, well, you find out it wasn't fucking self-defense, but whatever. Because he's shot by his brother-in-law. And then she takes the kids and moves to Idaho, and then you never hear from the kids again. She marries the cult guy, and she's in the news because she was in the news a couple years ago because she wouldn't tell them where her kids were. Her mom gets involved, her son gets involved, like all this stuff. She runs to Hawaii for a minute and stuff. And it you find out where the kids are, where the kids are buried and stuff. But she claims that she's this transcendent warrior from another dimension. She's been sent here to fight and to save the souls. The reason why she killed her kids was they were zombies. And they had already turned into dark spirited people. Do you remember this?
The demon zombies. Demon zombies. Like, spell demon the way that they're meaning to spell it, not the original way.
Because she gets, like, her brother involved, and all this stuff. They thought the world was going to end in July. But, so, like, they talk about...
Yeah, so there's actually a Time Suck episode on this, and I completely forgot about this till you said the zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So this lady, I know exactly what you're talking about now. So she was convinced that, like, this guy convinced her that certain people were light workers, and certain people were demon zombies, and it was up to the light workers to kill the demon zombies, and that you could, like, there's, like, a whole tier level of how dark and evil somebody is by what kind of demon zombie they are. Mm-hmm. It is fun and zany and ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sins of Our Mother, it's on Netflix. It's 3, like, 1-hour episodes, like a little mini series type thing. I remember it being on the news years ago, a couple years ago. It's not even that long ago. So yeah, we watched that last night. I've been mainly watching the back of my eyelids, because I have been so tired. Today is kind of the first day. Yesterday and today are the first days I've actually felt normal. So yeah, that's all that I've watched and read. Do you have anything else?
I think that sums up this episode perfectly. Thank you guys for joining us here. Yeah. Check out next week's episode where we are going to be talking about Celtic mythology.
Mm-hmm.
A heavy focus in Irish mythology, because there's a lot. And with, you know, St. Paddy's Day just behind us, good time to talk about it.
Yeah.
I guess we're a little late on talking about it, but it's fine. And you know what? I'll probably go on a rant at some point during that, because that's my episode about how certain historians believe that the snakes were actually pagans, and that it's cultural racism, it's erasing culture. I can't talk.
Okay.
Erasurism. And how...
That's a word. Okay.
Yeah. But anyways, that's a next time conversation.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'll have coffee by then. So, don't forget to like, rate, review, subscribe, share, tell a friend, tell an enemy. Rent a plane and ride it in the sky. However you want to convey it, you know, Raider episodes, we get more coverage the more you share our episodes and Raider episodes, so
yeah,
if you do that, we would be much obliged.
Yeah.
So yeah. Until then, hopefully Kelsey gets better.
I hope so too.
I am Johnny.
I'm Kelsey. Bye.
Bye.